A reading from the Gospel. Now, after and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. The Gospel of the Lord. It's odd, isn't it, that in these few days from the 25th, we've been swinging back and forth between joy and grief, life and death. Because if you think about it, immediately after celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus, we had the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. So that's grief. And then there was St. John the Evangelist, and the Gospel passage yesterday was the announcement of the resurrection. So that's joy. And now here we have this terrible story of the death of all these tiny children, aged 2 or less, massacred because Herod was afraid of a baby. A baby he'd been told about. Put it that way, it sounds ridiculous. But it's a fact. He was so terrified of losing his power and authority that he'd go to any lengths, even these lengths, just to hang on to that power, that authority. I wonder if you've seen Pasolini's film of the Gospel of Matthew. If you have, you certainly remember this scene. There are mothers running away from the king's soldiers. Babies dying violently in all kinds of ways. It's dreadful to watch. For all those young women to see their children massacred for no apparent reason. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it? And yet we have to. We have to think about it, because this is the world we live in. A world where the innocent, a world where joy and grief alternate constantly, where nothing lasts forever, nothing can be taken for granted. Right now, there are places all over the world where children are dying because of the selfish concerns of people who, let's face it, people who are just like us, not necessarily tyrants like Herod, just ordinary people who forget that the lights and the special meals and the extravagant presents have to be paid for, not just by us taking money out of our more or less comfortable bank accounts, but paid for by whole communities where there's never enough to eat, let alone gifts and parties and strings of coloured lights on the tree and songs about Santa Claus and his reindeer. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying forget Santa. I'm not saying dump the tree, dump the lights, starve on Christmas Day. But isn't the church wise to remind us in this season of the suffering that's the other side of the coin of joy? These babies, that's all they were. They were under 2 years old. These babies had no idea that they were dying to save the one child who was born to save us all. Maybe our prayer in this Christmas season should be that we become like them, instruments of salvation, even if we don't realize it. And certainly, we need to remember to say thank you to the Father for reminding us that in the midst of life, we are in death. But as Paul writes to the Romans, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. It's one of the hardest lessons of our Christian faith, and it's one of the most important. Whatever our suffering now, it's nothing compared with that future glory, that glory in which those innocent victims, all innocent victims, are already glorified.